stand by. Good day, and welcome to the IBM Corporation Tivoli Talk, Maximo Pricing Updates for Partners Worldwide conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Tom Davis. Please go ahead, sir.
Great. Thank you, Karen. Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. This is a global conference, which will be recorded and available for you to share with your colleagues if they're not able to attend. We, as you know, announced some pricing adjustments that aligned FCT with Passport. These are the same terms that were announced at 7.1 GA back on May 16th. To take you through this, I've asked Irv Nettles from our pricing team. He is our pricing manager for the items that came over from the MRO acquisition. And he'll take you through what we hope is good information on what some of the packaging is, some of the scenarios to get very hands-on. We have kept the numbers, in fact, you know, fictitious as examples so you understand the methodology. We've got quite a bit to get through in this hour. So we've got Irv as our main presenter, and we'll be joined by Don Busick, who many of you probably know is the product manager for the Maximo piece of the portfolio. And we'll have an opportunity to dialogue, obviously, outside of this Tivoli talk. So at this point, let me turn it over to Irv, and if you're on the webcast, you can see the charts in the net meeting. So with no further ado, Irv, if you can take it from here.
Sure. Thanks, Tom. So let me just give a quick overview of the agenda. You know, we'll cover the key updates to the pricing changes that were made effective in October. I'll also run you through some of the Maximo pricing examples, and then we'll pretty much wrap up the meeting. So that said, let's go ahead and look at what changed from FCT to PPA. So here are the key points. So there were price increases to certain industry solutions and related add-ons and trade-ups. Also, FCT pricing as of October 14th, 2008 was set equal to PPA pricing. Third, the subscription and support pricing is now 25% of license. It used to be 20% of license. I mean, I've got another slide to go into more detail on that. Volume discounts are no longer available in FCT. And PPA offers entitled pricing. Now, this is kind of the PPA equivalent of volume discounting. A customer would have to have an annual spend of about $100,000 to qualify, and essentially the more they purchase, the more their entitled discount level would be. And right now that ranges from about 12 to 20%. There are also metric changes. So registered users in FCT are now called authorized users in PPA. Secondary users are now called limited use authorized users. And a customer must own at least one authorized user for every three limited use authorized users. And we also no longer have limited use authorized users or secondary users available with the industry solutions. So one last note on this slide, all products introduced in Passport Advantage, they have Passport Advantage part numbers. Existing FCT parts remain in effect, but they do have equivalent part numbers that they map to in Passport Advantage. So the transition period. So as we transition from FCT to Passport Advantage, I've got a couple of key points. First, all quotes issued to customers prior to October 31st, 2008 will be honored through their expiration. And this includes the pricing, volume discounting, and S&S rates. Second, all quotes issued or honor after the 31st of October must contain the new pricing. So we have to have the new prices no volume discounting, and the 25% S&S rate. If you would, any exception to those to these scenarios would require an approval from Tivoli Worldwide Pricing. Okay, so a question comes up often is when to use Passport Advantage versus SCT. So, ideally we want Passport Advantage to be used all the time, but I know that's not the case. And this chart helps identify the scenarios when using SCT would still be applicable. So first, when we sell directly, which I don't think it applies in this call, direct sales with version 7.1 should be used during Passport Advantage. The second bullet for new sales with business partners, if you're selling version 7 or higher, we encourage all business partners to use Passport Advantage. New sales through business partners that do not provide technical support, we want them using Passport Advantage. However, the third bullet, if the business partner provides level 1 or level 2 technical supports, these deals can be done using FCT. So on the fourth bullet, when selling version 6.2.1, if the business partner does not provide technical support, we want the business partner to use PPA. We strongly encourage that. If the business partner does not provide support, then FCT can be used. On the fifth bullet, if we're selling version 6.1, okay, so this, in this case, the product was never blue washed. If there is a customer on it, it has to be sold during using FCT. It's not available in Passport Advantage. So on the next scenario, version 6.1 for industry solutions. For blue washed products, this has been released through Passport Advantage. If the customer has a blue washed product and the business partner does not provide support, then sell it using PPA. If the business partner does not provide support, or the customer absolutely refuses to migrate, then FCT can be used. So on the next one, selling version 5 of Maximo. This was never blue washed, was never introduced to Passport Advantage. They would have to get support using FCT. However, it must be noted, we need to let them know that this will end of life, and if the customer wants support, they'd have to purchase extended support in the future, which is a lot more expensive than what we currently offer with our basic support. For version 4 and earlier, we've essentially end-of-life that. We need to get the customer migrated to a newer version. On subscription and support renewals, we always want to encourage the customers to migrate to Passport Advantage. Let's persuade them to do it. If they refuse to migrate to Passport Advantage, we'll renew them through FCT, but we need to let them know that ultimately, that the product could end of life, because this is usually for the older versions of Maximo, and that in order to get support in the future, they're going to have to be purchasing the premium, or I guess the extended support, again, which is a lot more expensive than what we offer with basic support. If we go to the next slide, we'll look at the version 7.1 license metrics. As I briefly covered in slide 4, Passport Advantage uses different metric names. Authorized user is a single user and includes Maximo Asset Management plus industry solution applications, including the industry solution add-ons. In FCT, we call this registered user. Limited use authorized users, a secondary user license. This user only receives access to 3 of the 8 Maximo modules. Again, they have to have one authorized user for every 3 limited use authorized users. Asset is a per asset based pricing. And this is only used with Maximo Asset Configuration Manager. Install metric is a software program instance used for Maximo assistance compliance documentation, Maximo spatial asset management, and internal service provider. As you can see in the footnotes, Maximo assistance compliance documentation will not be available for sale as a standalone PID in the near future. And then one final note on this slide, trade-up may be purchased where a customer moves from Maximo Asset Management's license to an industry solution. The customer may trade up from either an authorized user or a limited use authorized user of Maximo Asset Management to an authorized user of the industry solution. The pricing and orderable, they're different for each alternative. Essentially, if they trade up from a limited use authorized user of Maximo Assets, the core Maximo Asset Management, they will have to pay a higher price to trade up than if they only had an authorized user. So the next slide shows how the IBM model for subscription and support, how the pricing works. So as I referenced in the first slide, what changed from SCT to PPA, a key change was made to subscription and support pricing. So in this example, we have a deal with a total year one list price in PPA for $1,250, of which $1,000 goes to license and $250 goes to subscription and support. The cost of subscription and support is popularly referenced in two ways. First, the $250 for SNS, a lot of people will call it the 25% of license, or in this case, the $250 is 25% of the $1,000 license price. Or secondly, you'll hear it referred to as 20% of the total year one list price. So in this case, again, that would be $250 of the $1,250 total first year price. So either way is correct. It's just the way you look at it. In FCT, the way it was the SNS as a percentage of license, as it's represented in blue, would only have been 20% of the license. As a percentage of the first year price, as represented in green, this would have only been about 16.7%. Okay, so when we migrate from FCT to Passport Advantage, the policies we want to make the customer whole. We want the licenses before equivalent to the licenses after. So typically this is done when on renewals of their SNS agreements or if the customer wants to do it earlier than that. Typically the account sales rep or typically SNS renewal rep will initiate it. The price increase, discount delegation we put into place to allow the sales rep or renewal rep to offer the discount or to offer the customer subscription and support pricing at 110% of last year without the need for special bid. So essentially what goes on here is we typically have a 10% year-to-year price increase in Passport Advantage on renewals, which, of course, can be negotiated. So entitlements, and we'll cover this a little bit in the next two slides, the entitlement will change from the old FCT part number to a new Passport Advantage part number. There may be changes also to the license quantities of product names due to the price metric and packaging changes. So the next slide shows just an illustration of a migration entitlement. Here, you've got an old license part number, which is mapped to a new license part number. So you see that you've got Maximo Asset Management, registered user. It gets mapped to Maximo Asset Management, authorized user. There's a one-to-one mapping, and in this case, the quantities are the same. So the S&S part number is also mapped from FCT to Passport Advantage. So there are one-to-one mappings for both license and maintenance part numbers. So essentially, if a customer has 50 licenses in FCT, they would receive 50 licenses of the replacement part in Passport Advantage. In the next example, it's essentially the same thing, except in FCT, there were instances where the customer had a site license. So here, it's the same logic. They would receive, the part numbers would map. You'd trade in essentially the FCT part number for a Passport Advantage part number. However, the difference is we need to get the one-to-one ratio doesn't work in this case. So if a customer had one license in FCT, one site license, and they supported 1,000 authorized users at their site, they would receive 1,000 licenses of the replacement part in PA. So it varies by scenario, and it would just have to be, you know, determined on a case-by-case situation. All right, so over the next few slides and until we close out the presentation, I'll go over some pricing examples. The first slide shows trade-up and add-on pricing. So trade-up pricing is used when one user upgrades from a core Maximo Asset Management to an industry solution. So in this example, and again, we just wanted to notice, as Tom said at the beginning, that these are not real prices. These are fictionary prices just for illustrative purposes. So in this case, the mathematical difference between the core asset management piece and the industry solution for transportation is $200. However, the trade-up price is $600. We want to use this as leverage to encourage customers in purchasing industry solutions at the time of initial sale. Add-on pricing is used when adding another industry solution to a different industry solution for the same user. Since the customer is not rebuying the Maximo core, we do not charge the full price of the industry solution. So in this example, we charge the customer $335 for the add-on. For about 28% of the total of what they would normally pay for an industry solution. And add-on prices do not change at the time of initial sale or at the sale, you know, if they wanted to purchase it at a later date. Okay, so this slide goes in a little more detail on trade-up pricing and further illustrates why we want to encourage the customer to purchasing the industry solution at the initial purchase as opposed to waiting and doing a trade-up. So in this example, we have a trucking company that has 50 mechanics to maintain 200 trucks and 10 facilities maintenance people. So in the first scenario here on the left side, we look at the customer purchasing 60 core Maximo Asset Management users, and then later they purchase 50 users of Maximo for transportation. So the total cost by these two separate transactions would be around $90,000. And again, these are just fictitious prices. However, if they were to have purchased the industry solution at the time of sale, it would have only cost the customer $70,000, or about a 22% price savings. Again, trader pricing is used to encourage the customer into making a larger initial purchase instead of waiting down the road to, you know, buy the industry solutions. So this slide shows how mobile user licensing works. Here we have a customer at the facility maintenance department. It has 10 maintenance people supporting 3 remote warehouses and 1 person at headquarters office building. 4 of the 10 workers also have access to workstations for facility maintenance. We've got 1 maintenance supervisor based in the headquarters building. So therefore, the customer would purchase 10 Maximo Mobile Work Manager licenses for the 10 remote workers, 4 core Maximo Asset Management licenses for the 4 maintenance people that also have workstations, and 1 Maximo Asset Management license for the supervisor that works in headquarters. The next few slides, we're going to talk about service provider pricing and packaging. So in the past, with version 6, service providers were sold in a bundle. But now with version 7.1, service providers is sold separately. Now a key change is that we can stack the various Maximo products on top of each other. So in this example, we have a customer that requires external service providers with Maximo Asset Management. With 7.1, the customer would order 2 separate parts, 1 for Maximo Asset Management and 1 for Maximo Asset Management for service providers. In the version 6 scenario, both products were bundled together. Another key change is in the pricing. Generally, the pricing for service providers was reduced so that we could stay competitive in relation to our competitors. So in this example, you can see that we decreased price in version 7 by about 31% from the prior version 6 price. It does leave us an issue when customer wants to purchase version 6 because the price is still higher. I'll cover our work around that in a few slides. One last note on this slide. I wanted to highlight that the PPA and FCT prices are the same, and the only difference is the part numbers that are being used. So the next slide illustrates an example of a customer purchasing internal service providers along with Maximo Asset Management. So there are 2 primary differences in this scenario. First, an install license is required with the purchase of internal service providers. And second, the core Maximo Asset Management component is version agnostic, meaning the customer can purchase version 6 or version 7 with the same part number. However, separate part numbers must be used for the components for authorized user and install license for internal service providers. Unlike the prior slide, there is not a pricing difference for internal service providers between version 6 and version 7. But like the last slide, FCT pricing and structure is the same in PPA. Again, only the part numbers are different. The next slide shows an example of industry solution for service provider. In this case, it shows how a customer can purchase, the industry solution. And in version 6, and this was bundled under one part, D03YYLL. Now in version 7, the customer orders 2 parts. One for the industry solution, in this example, oil and gas, and another for the service provider component. similar to what we covered in the first slide. Second, it further illustrates how a customer can stack products on top of each other. So in this example, the customer purchases oil and gas along with Maximo Mobile Inventory Manager. Instead of purchasing two bundled products and paying for the same software twice as they would have to do in version 6, now in version 7, the customer may just stack another product on top of the existing service provider's order. They order and pay for the Maximo Asset Management for managed service providers only once, and they can stack as many other Maximo products on top of it as they'd like. Again, FCT pricing is the same as Passport Advantage. Okay, so the next slide shows a purchase of Tivoli Asset Management for IT with external service providers. Like our prior slides, this slide shows how TAMIT for managed service providers was bundled under one part in version 6 and was called Asset Management for IT Outsourcers. In version 7.1, it's now purchased using two separate parts. You'll also see that there's a 20% price decrease from version 6 to version 7. This slide also illustrates the purchase using a different metric, however, the same methodology applies. So my last example and ultimately my last slide of the presentation shows an example of selling version 6 today. So as you can see, as we've noted in the past slides, there is a noticeable price difference between version 6 and version 7. However, we shouldn't expect a customer to pay 20% more for an older version of the product. Unfortunately, the price for version 6 is set in the system now, and we're currently working on a fix to address this so that version 6 mirrors version 7. The current workaround is to use discounting to bring the version 6 to bring version 6 in line with the suggested retail price of version 7. So in this example, we would apply a 20% discount from the start to asset management for IT outsourcers so that it matched the total price of the two version 7.1 components. From there, we could apply further discounting as required during the negotiations. That was my last example. At this point, I'm going to open up the call for question and answers, and we'll have Tom and Don on as well to provide any answers to your questions as needed. So, Karen, please open the floor.
And Karen, this is Tom. I'd like to obviously make the partners have the Q&A time, and if we have some open time, perhaps the IBMers. But let's focus on the partners.
Of course.
Questions. Thank you.
To ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad at this time. If you are using a speakerphone, please ensure your mute button is turned off to ensure that your signal may reach our equipment. Once again, that is star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for a moment to assemble the queue. We'll take our first question from Jean Carbonneau with CIM Maintenance.
Hello, everybody. My first question is, we're raising the maintenance at 25%. How does that compare with industry, and how are we going to be able to sell that?
Well, I do think that it is higher than the industry right now, but it is that's the IBM model, and as we integrate it, as Maximo integrates into IBM, we need to definitely follow the IBM model. We need to sell it on the advantages of Passport Advantage. We need to encourage customers to use
the entitled pricing. And we essentially need to just sell the benefits of Passport Advantage.
Hey, John, this is Don Busick.
Hi, Don.
How's it going?
Fine.
So a couple points just to elaborate on what Irv just said. It's actually in line with where some of our EAM competitors are. So Oracle and SAP charge roughly the same for maintenance.
That's about 25 too. That's what I wanted to know. I want to have enough information to be able to compare and tell what we need to tell the customers.
That's exactly right. It's roughly in line with where our big EAM competitors are. The thing about it is, obviously it's more than what we charge as MRO, but one of the advantages to being IBM is that while we had global follow-the-sun maintenance model with MRO, as I'm sure you know, a longtime partner, our staff in, say, AP, for example, was somewhat limited. And so being an advantage to the maintenance model with IBM is that there's a much larger support staff across the globe to be able to help with maintenance calls, et cetera, et cetera. So, you're paying a little bit more, but there's a better global support around maintenance than there was when we were MRO software.
And other competitors like MP2 or Indus, are they around that 25 too, or they're more like 20?
That's a good question. I don't have that number off the top of my head. I always was under the impression that we were a little lower in maintenance when we were MRO software than some of the competitors were, but I don't know exactly where they stand.
Okay. Fine. I have two more questions.
One thing I would note just before you switch off to your other two, if you don't mind. One thing to note about pricing is that some of the competitors IBM includes, and Irv, correct me if I'm wrong here, but IBM includes maintenance in the charge for the first part of the fee when you're lining up a deal.
Yes, that's correct.
And not all of our competitors do that. So it is one thing to note. Like I believe Indus, for example, is one that doesn't include maintenance in the first as part of the deal. So when they're looking, when a customer is looking at pricing, they'll say, "Oh, geez, Indus is a lower price." But when you stack in the maintenance for Indus on top of their software price, it actually makes it much more competitive. So it's one thing to note when you're dealing with some of our competitors is whether or not they include maintenance in the first year of the deal.
Yeah. One way to present it to the customer, too, is if you have a sale of $1,000 and it's basically includes the maintenance.
That's right.
It's 25%, so it's $250, but basically it's about 21% of the $1,250.
That's right.
So for the customers, he really sees 21%, not necessarily 25%.
That's exactly right. I mean, I think that's when you're getting down to the pricing with some of our competitors, that's an important thing to bring up.
Yeah. Okay. So I have two more questions.
John, I'll tell you what. To be fair to everyone else, pick your top one.
And
we're going to move on. Thanks.
Okay.
Ed, pick one more if you will.
Okay. So the trade-up, I have some requirements for customers who wants to trade up from secondary to primary, limited use to authorized use. Will that be available eventually?
Yeah, Don, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that is available right now. If you can, in trade-up pricing, if you have a customer that has limited use or secondary users of Maximo Asset Core Management, and they're wanting to buy an industry solution,
I'm trading up. Sorry, I'm not talking of going to industry solutions. Let's say I have some users like the Core Maximo, and they want to they have purchased, let's say, a 20 secondary license, and they want to change that into primary licenses.
So the question is, can they do that? Can they switch over from a secondary to a primary?
Yeah. Is there a trade-up that exists? When I discussed that with Ken, he said there was none existing.
I believe that's correct. So you mentioned you discussed it with Ken Donnelly.
Yeah.
I believe that's correct. That hasn't changed. Yeah.
Will that be eventually possible?
So you're desiring to implement a trade-up. So if a customer wants to go from a secondary to a primary, that basically there'd be trade-up pricing in place for that.
Yeah.
You know, as you mentioned, it's not something we do today. We have kicked it around a little bit. It's not something that I that we said, oh, geez, this is something we're going to do in the short term, at least not to my knowledge. I'd be interested in hearing your scenarios, though, maybe offline, about how you'd want to implement it.
Okay.
Thanks, Sean. Karen, can we field another question, please?
Of course. For our next question, we'll go to Jerry Ostrowski with Advanced Integrated Solutions.
Hi. My question is, we had a useful tool called the Price Book up through version 6. I guess it was for version 6. And noticing that there are a lot of different ways now that version 7.1 is bundled, particularly on the ITSM side with regard to change manager and SLA manager and such. The question is there going to be some sort of a tool that allows us to understand how the new packaging takes place, not only the pricing, but also what items are included in various modules? There was a very nice matrix available in the price book.
Jerry, this is Tom Davis. Maybe I could take that one. There is one under development in the marketing and pricing team. It has not been signed off yet. We will probably not be releasing the full deck.
I think Tom just dropped. I'll try to finish up for him here. Basically, we are working on a price book for the 7X version of Maximo, just for the reasons you mentioned, right? There's enough stuff in there that we really want to keep the pricing rules concise and understandable. So we're working through the version that will be released to business partners. There's a lot of process steps that have to go through, from legal signing off, et cetera, et cetera. And so we're working through those steps now. So there is one in the works, but I don't know the timing of when you could expect it. Tom might need to be back on to answer that. Is that helpful?
We're basically flying blind without that.
Yes. It's a big deal. I completely agree with you. So the challenge is that, I mean, you think, for the reasons that you're flying blind, right, all the different add-ons and industry solutions and so on and so forth that are available out there, it just takes a while to develop the price book for the very reasons that you need one. So agreed, and I think Tom is putting a lot of heat on fast-tracking one for the business partners.
Is there any other collateral that we could use in the meantime?
I don't know that there is. I know Mary has her business partner, you know, monthly newsletter. I think there's usually some stuff in there, but I don't know that there's anything that's the exact equivalent of a price book, unfortunately.
Thank you.
Yeah.
For our next question, we'll go to Delia Meenhorst with Max. Ms. Meenhorst, please go ahead.
Oh, hi. It's a colleague of Delia's. It was a question really about the original question about the maintenance pricing of the software and really where this model of 25% came from, because it is an increase in the life cycle cost of the software. Many people that already own the software are seeing this as a 20% hike, basically. And when I look at the competitive landscape, and there was a comment in the presentation about staying competitive, I don't see 25% as the annual maintenance fee. In fact, I see Oracle entering at 15%. So where did the figure actually come from?
The 25, that is the IBM model. I mean, for Passport Advantage, that's the way IBM does business, and that's the way it charges subscription and support. That's 25% of license.
You mentioned Oracle. For example, we had a few calls with Gartner on this topic, they actually mentioned that our competitors in this space, SAP and Oracle, come in at 25%. In fact, I think SAP might be at 26%. I'd have to go back through my notes again. So I don't know about 15%. It would be interesting to hear where you're getting that number from. I don't know if that's just a discounted rate for a specific customer.
You're comparing our pricing to the two leading ERP solutions in the marketplace, not against, say, BMC Remedy or against Peregrine, which is where ITSM is competing.
That's correct. So when we talked about it with Gartner, we were actually focused with their EAM analysts talking specifically on EAM. So Oracle and SAP being the big competitors in that space. The maintenance fees are definitely different. I couldn't tell you what BMC's is, for example, off the top of my head, but when I was talking about it with Gartner and discussing kind of the maintenance hikes and their impressions on things, they mentioned Oracle and SAP coming in at 25%, and I think SAP might be a touch higher than that. I don't know where the 15% you mentioned comes up, because that's different certainly from the information Gartner has.
Oh, well, the pricing that I got was from the Oracle website.
So it's probably worthwhile to maybe sit down and spin through, because they do, I think, if you look at Gartner, or rather Oracle, and where they do their maintenance, it might be different by product. I can only tell you what Gartner has told us in terms of Oracle's positioning of Oracle's EAM products.
Okay, well, I've got some ex-MRO colleagues who now work for SAP, so I'll try and get some SAP numbers as well and get them to you.
Yeah, I'd love to hear that if you don't mind.
Okay, thank you.
For our next question, we'll go to James Fair with Vitasi.
Hi, thank you. Do you happen to know how these prices will feed or ripple down through to the OEM contracts?
Tom, I don't know if you know the answer to that one.
No, I don't. Given that OEM is not procured through Passport, nor CT, and Herb, you can correct me, they would not necessarily be subject to these terms and conditions. So, James, I don't know the answer. I would say no, but I can take that and follow up through David Judge and Rebecca.
You could. Appreciate it. Thank you.
You got it.
As a reminder, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad at this time.
Irv, I should have given you the opportunity to answer that if you were done.
No, I didn't know the answer to that either, Tom.
Okay.
We'll now take a follow-up question from John Carbonell.
We briefly mentioned extended support and also people that are still on versions that are not supported Maximo 4. Could you explain that a little more?
Well, for the earlier versions of, if customers on an earlier version of Maximo, I think version 4 and version 3, and Don, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think those were end of life, correct?
Yes,
that's right.
So we don't even offer, from my knowledge, we don't offer support to them. I think they would have to buy, would be extended or premium support, which it's more like it's customized, I guess, for that customer, and it's a lot more expensive. I don't know what the pricing is on that, but I do know that IBM charges a much higher rate than what our basic support prices are today.
Yeah, I mean, so essentially that's right. If you're a 4X customer, for example, if you're running 411, IBM does offer extended maintenance, so you can kind of essentially buy year after year maintenance. I think they only do that for a certain number of years before they even stop with that. It is at a higher rate than the standard maintenance charge. The basic thought is that at some point you have to end the life of the older versions and you have to get people to upgrade to the latest and greatest version of the product.
I totally agree with you, and that's what we want to do, to push them to migrate. So it's important that I understand the pricing so that they will add that in their value of migrating to the new version.
Right. Yes, agreed. So you just need then the pricing for the extended maintenance for 4X. And
yes.
Okay. I don't know that off the top of my head, but I tell you what, Tom, I can shoot you the name of the person who would know, and maybe then you can follow up with John.
Will do.
Okay. So we can't answer that on this call specifically, but we can get back to you. Does that work for you, John?
Fine.
Okay.
Once again, to ask a question, please press *1 on your telephone keypad at this time. We'll pause again for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal. We'll now take a question from Tanya McCall with Project Tech.
Hi, this is Tanya. Could you clarify for me the difference between the internal service provider license and the managed service provider license?
The difference in the pricing or the difference in how you know when to use one versus the other?
Yeah, actually the definition of those two.
Sure. So I'll give you a couple examples. So an external service provider is somebody who is using Maximo to drive revenue for the company. So, you know, an Aramark, a Unico, Johnson Controls, companies like that where they're, for example, doing facilities maintenance for a list of their customers. So they're using Maximo to generate work orders, et cetera, to do facilities maintenance for 30 companies that aren't them, right? That are their customers. Internal service provider is a facilities department that's using Maximo just to run their department like a business, to manage and understand the work orders that they're doing for the marketing department, for the sales department, et cetera, et cetera. So the differentiator is really, are you using Maximo to drive revenue for your company, or are you really just using it to understand and manage the work that you're doing for the rest of the departments within your company or organization? That's the delineator between the two. And obviously there's different price points between the two different offerings. An internal service provider, if you're a facilities department, typically you don't have a big budget, you're not driving revenue, so it's a lower price point. The external or managed service provider is typically has a larger budget, using Maximo to drive revenue. And the other key point out of that is that by using Maximo to help manage their customers, they're actually taking customers away from us and you as a business partner, right? The company is not going to buy Maximo if they're, you know, if Unico, for example, is using Maximo to manage their facilities already. So that's why there's some different price points between the two. So it's really just a case of, are you using it just within your own organization, in which case it's the internal service provider, or are you using it externally to manage it for your customers, in which case it's the external or managed service provider offering. So that was a little long-winded. Did that answer your question?
That did. Thank you.
Okay.
Our next question will go again to Jean Carbonneau.
Maybe one thing to clarify, too, is for the current customers that did purchase Maximo with a 20% maintenance plan, that will stay the same. That's what I understood. They will have just their normal annual increase.
Well, I think that... Number one, we need to encourage them to migrate to Passport Advantage. When they migrate, that's going to change their entitlements to Passport Advantage. Essentially, it's going to the year-to-year the big difference between FCT used to have 3.6% year-to-year price increases, and again, the IBM model is 10% year-to-year, which we typically negotiates a little bit lower than that. But we definitely are trying to move everybody off FCT to Passport Advantage. Now, again, we will continue to, if the customer absolutely refuses to move or migrate to Passport Advantage, we will still renew them at their old rates. However, we do need to let them know that, you know, typically if they are using FCT, it's probably going to be for older versions, and then we go into that argument about end of life and extended maintenance, you know, when that time occurs.
Okay. So typically when they get to PPA, they will have a 10% increase up to getting to the 25%.
Right. Well, and remember on that, that's the 25% is really applicable to, you know, if they've got a deal, let's say it's, you know, they pay $1,000 in maintenance right now. It's when they renew, I mean, what is that 25% of the license is typically, you know, calculated with during the first year, you know, the main purchase, and then from years on it, the outgoing years is it's usually looked at more on a year-to-year increase, right?
Yeah.
So if they were to do a new deal with IBM where they purchase licenses, it would, you know, have a shift between the percentages that went to license and the percentage that went to maintenance, and then the maintenance piece would then be renewed. You know, that piece would be higher, and then it would be renewed at a slightly higher year-to-year price increase in the future.
Okay.
And again, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad at this time. We'll pause again for just a moment. We'll now take a question from Matt Logsdon with Cohesive.
Good morning. Can you guys hear me?
Good morning, Matt.
Hi,
Matt.
Hey, is there a separate set of calls going on with the value-added distributors, keeping them posted, all these changes to both price and packaging and all? Because I think in the future, you know, if we fast forward 6 months to 18 months from now, most of our information when we go to Pure Passport Advantage would all be coming through the VAD and not maybe directly from IBM. Can we expect them to know what you're telling us today?
Maybe I can field this one, Matt. This is Tom. This was really an alignment of the prices and the packaging that was announced in Passport back on May 16th. So at that point, we did enable them. We hosted a series of calls with Irv's team and with the VADs, and we've provided them enablement kits so that they can support you appropriately. This is business as usual to them, you know, on Passport terms like maintenance, but some of the to your point, some of the packaging, you know, may be different. But we enabled them back at May, so if you're approaching them, work with a VAD, and you feel like they don't have a level of understanding to support you, please let me know. Let me know who the VAD is, and I'll work with them to make sure they get enabled. But we did this for them back in May.
Gotcha. Okay. Thanks, Tom.
For our next question, we'll go back to Delia Meanhorse line.
Yeah, hi. It's my name. While we're offline, I made a phone call to a personal friend at SAP. Just for your information, the current maintenance level from SAP is 18%. They've announced that they're going to rise that over the next 3 years to 22%. One of the important differences is that they charge that percentage on the purchase price of the software forever. In other words, if I get a discount in year one, that discount effectively will be maintained in perpetuity, which is a very different model and a very different life cycle cost model to IBM. I'll pass those numbers on. Thank you.
Thank you. Would the gentleman who was just speaking mind repeating their name and firm, if you will?
Well, the name of the chap is a chap called Andrew Blee, and he works for SAP. In fact, he's just leaving, which is why he felt able to give me the numbers. My name's Mike Knapp.
Okay. He's just leaving SAP, or...?
Yeah, he's just leaving now. He's just he's resigned.
Oh, great. And he's joining our team, I hope?
Sadly not.
Okay.
As a final reminder, to ask a question, please press star 1 at this time. We'll pause again for just a moment. And it does appear that there are no further questions. That will conclude our conference for today. Thank you, everyone, for your participation, and have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.